Who are you?
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zata Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Vasquez beaten away by Buffon, and then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post!
Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody, as we roll on here tonight after the Blitz. Fred Power, A.J. Hoffman, had some soccer talk tonight, I heard, and I'm going to ask Aaron Raybould about that. First two segments tonight, supporters groups. I know you're out there. Whether you're the Houston Red Army, you're the Surge, you're the Texian Army, you're Houston Wolves, we go on and on. Bayou City Blues, Houston Spurs. Well, this is your time here, these first two segments, to get a call in. You can say something about your team, where we're at. We can also continue on, and I'm wondering where you are, Houston soccer fans. Any new thoughts on the rebrand? I think one of the things A.J. Hoffman brought up on the Blitz was that maybe this just isn't an MLS town. Do you agree with that? 713-780-3776. It certainly was in 2006 and 7. And 8. But your thoughts on that? Any new thoughts again on the rebrand? Has it, and the message, and, you know, the nod to hip hop, and has any of this grown on you? So, supporters groups, this is your chance tonight. Houston Coolest, BCB, Houston Red Army, Houston Wolves, Spurs. Who am I missing? If I'm missing a supporters group in town, I know Celtic is out there. Call into the show and introduce yourselves and tell people where you usually are watching games during COVID-19. Who am I missing? So supporters groups, your shot tonight. 713-780-3776, streaming at ESPN975.com. A lot of those supporters groups were involved in Champions League play today. So let's get it on tonight. Right now, 80th minute, Nashville, the seventh seed against Toronto. And this is the 80th minute. And tonight, Nashville is looking to provide an upset, which I don't think we should necessarily be surprised. This was going to be a low-scoring game. They're an unbelievable collective defending outfit. It's not what I like, but they do it to perfection. They believe in it. Their coach, Gary Smith, has his players believing it. They've had the chances to go on up in this game. Also, in the first half, Jonathan Osorio kicks out right into a place you don't want to get kicked after being involved in a tackle. Right in front of the referee. Right in front of everybody. It's an obvious red card. It's an obvious sending off. And he's not sent off. And, you know, it makes you wonder. I've never been the big conspiracy theory guy. That's really changing now. But is that a move they make because they don't want to penalize Toronto FC? Because of how long they've been in the league, they've been MLS Cup champions. Did they not make that call because of that? I hear a lot of sports talk radio, and I hear a lot of people saying, oh, you know, Michael Jordan gets all the calls. LeBron James gets all the calls. Certain teams get all the calls. Do you believe in that? 713-780-3776 is the number to call in tonight. Aaron Raybould is behind the glass. Aaron, I heard you had some soccer talk, you, AJ, and Fred.
We did, just a little bit of it. I know people like to leave it for the expert, that is Glenn Davis. But
No. I would beg to differ. I want you guys to talk about it. I love when you talk about it because they are differing takes, and they have to be honored, and I'm glad you were talking about it. I'm interested. I'll have to go back and listen to it.
Yeah, Fred was echoing some of the sentiment we had last week of with the rebrand, all you're doing is changing logos. What does that mean? You know, fans would rather see the product on the field improve and not just a brand new logo and that's shiny and new. And then AJ made the point himself. Maybe after being in San Antonio over the weekend and seeing a whole bunch of Austin FC gear, maybe it's because Houston has too much to compete with, and it being such an international town, maybe MLS isn't the main priority here.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair point. You do have a tremendous amount of competition, but that can't be used as an excuse because there was an awful lot of fans going to games in the early years at Robertson. So you have to say, what's happened since we left Robertson and got over here? Has it been managed properly? Has there been enough put into it? Did we rest on our laurels because of a new stadium? I mean, there's a lot of places you can go with this, and I don't want to do that. I'd rather the callers do that. 713-780-3776 tonight again. Any new thoughts on the rebrand now? Has it grown on you a little bit? Supporters group, it's your chance right now to get in here and have a say on your teams. Manchester United winning today, Barcelona winning today, Sergiño Dest, the U.S. national team member, scoring his first ever goal for Barcelona, Conrad De La Fuente, involved in this one too. Now, there's a guy that likely would not be involved, De La Fuente, if in fact Barcelona were not having the struggles and the problems that they do. So they're kind of having to make do with the players that they have, and that means that's opportunity for some. No question. All right, my friend Bogdan, he wants to talk rebrand. Bogdan.
Hey, Glenn, I always want to talk. You always
I know that about you. By the way, I know you've been watching the Nashville-Toronto game.
I am watching the game, and Nashville is just wasting some great opportunities here.
Oh,
but
my God, yes.
I'm picking them as an upset here. This would be tremendous. But so a couple of thoughts on the rebranding, right? I mean, now that we had some time to digest it and everything, the one thing that really came across to me is quite clear is that this organization is split in two major halves right now. You have one, the front office, who's just seems to be overly concerned with its image and branding and marketing and whatever, and rightfully so. Maybe that's how they make money and they stay in business. Then you have the other stuff, which is the product on the field. This obviously did not address that. And, you know, I think it's probably unfair that we're giving them so much crap, for lack of a better word, on this rebrand. It is what it is, right? They made it a point to suggest that they have Houstonians working on this rebrand. I don't know if that's a good thing or that just says that they're still clueless over there and they need help. But to me, take for example the last press releases, three press releases that have come out in the last, I don't know, 3-4 days, all about community stuff. Okay, so it's great. It's fantastic. You're going to come across as a hypocrite if you're going to criticize them. That look at them. They're doing good stuff for the community. They're going to have some kind of vaccine drive. But there's nothing soccer-related. This is a soccer, and then you complain that the teams, the people in Houston don't embrace soccer? Come on, man. I mean, I don't want to sound like you know who, but that's insulting to the fans, right? And to be fair, based on that interview that I heard from John, and it was great, look, and I still appreciate the transparency. It's clear to me that these guys are doubling down on this. They're like, oh, you guys don't like what we're doing, or we lost you as fans. Okay, well, don't come back. Who the hell says that? Who the hell tells customers not to come back?
Because I'm not sure. Oh, you're not ready? I'm not sure I can agree with that, Bogdan.
Yeah, but that's what it sounded like. I mean, didn't you hear?
Well,
him
I think
say that?
The fans were the, for me the fan base, and I'm in touch with it, very in touch with it. They want something from the competitive side, so I think that's why the timing was. So, take Atlanta United for instance. Carlos Bocanegra is coming out today, telling the media why certain players aren't coming back already. Now, listen, every team's got their own timetable to this, but. You know, they're already working on the on-field product and making it clear to fans who's coming back, who's not, to the point that they can right now. And, you know, that's where we kind of miss the boat. You know, fans, I think, love to play general manager or whatever, technical director, whatever. They love doing that, right? I mean, that's what we do in all other sports. So if our lean is to other sports and trying to get some of their fans, our lean should be to some of the behaviors of, you know, and trends and things that general managers do when it comes to transparency with players and contracts and all that stuff. And I don't know why that's hidden. I just don't. The lack of transparency is something that leads to a lack of trust. And I think trust has to be rebuilt. I really, really do. And I don't know if that's going to happen with the rebrand. I hope it does for the Dynamo's sake, because I want the team to thrive here. I've been in Houston since 1984, playing professional soccer, running a youth club, being involved with the Dynamo since their inception in 2006 and the league since 96. So I wanted to make it here. I consider this my hometown. I wanted to make it. And it does hurt me when the stadium is empty, and it's painful, believe me. Anything else, Bogdan?
Well, I do think that there are quite a few fans who are also hurt, right?
No question.
Yeah. And I don't know that most of them can express themselves. I mean, let's face it, it's kind of difficult, even with all the social media platforms. It's still kind of hard to be heard. And I'm glad you're doing this call to arms, so to speak, for the fans, for the supporters group. Hopefully they step up. But I definitely think...
Well, I want them to talk about everything, not only Dynamo, but I want them to talk about all the teams they support in the Champions League, and whether it's Manchester United, City, Barcelona, etc.
It's impossible. You heard it before, sir. You cannot root for a team in Champions League and be a Dynamo fan. I don't know where you're coming up with this. I'm going to have to disagree with you.
That's one of my points. All right, let me move it on, Bogdan. I got other callers coming in here. Let's go to Tony now. Thanks to Bogdan for that call. Tony.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, Tony. How are you?
Very good. It's my first call into the show. I've been listening for a while now, only because... I'm 53, and I grew up in Long Island, New York, and I
got that accent. I can hear that accent.
There you go. And I played soccer in the Massapequa Soccer Club since I was 4 years old.
And massive soccer club.
The Massapequa, yeah, it's in Long Island.
No, I'm saying huge, huge. Yes.
Like Indian reservation names, you know, so Hop Hog, you got all the different places. So, but that's what we grew up playing, was soccer, and it was fun. And I called in because I'm so inspired by the show, because people don't understand what that discipline and that function in my life as a little child had done for me, and being, you know, 4 years old and being introduced to it, and, you know, running in a pile and chasing the ball, all the fun things you watch when your kid first joins soccer. You don't even know where the ball is. There's just, you know, a bunch of human beings in a pile and there's a ball somewhere. But from there, and then going through and learning how to, you know, dribble and do this and do that and whatever it was, and then going through high school and then making the traveling team and, you know, all these guys that play all these heavy-duty sports. You know what? Go to a real soccer traveling camp from New York and go run in cleats and shin guards and everything's in the sand for 4 or 5 miles, and you know, as a whatever age it is kid, and see how your thighs and legs feel after that, and all those different things that you go through. And I mean, still, even at this age, at 50, you give me I can kick it through a sheetrock wall. Okay, I mean, it's the discipline that I learned. And then I went to high school, and I was fortunate enough in Berner High School in Massapequa Park. Coach Sweeney was my coach. One-touch Brazilian soccer. So it was, then we practiced that, and I'm, what, 14, 15?
So, Tony, listen. Tony, listen,
yeah.
This is a tremendous testimony from you. I love it. I absolutely love it. I love the fact that a guy from the hotbed of Long Island is here. I want to keep going, though, because there's a lot of people in the queue. I thank you so much for calling in the first time. I hope it's not the last time. And thanks so much for supporting the show, Tony.
Not, but thank you, sir.
All right. So, Tony, there, I love that. Massapequa Soccer Club, huge. Long Island, youth soccer, huge. So, it's great. So, there's somebody from out of town that loves the game, could be a Dynamo fan. All right, let's go to AY. Wants to talk the Pride of London.
That's Chelsea, of course. How are you doing today?
My friend AY, how are you, buddy? Long time. I hope you're doing well in COVID. What is on your soccer mind?
It's all right. I just want to make a quick comment about Chelsea this season. At least Frank Lampard is doing a good job. Though he still has one or two holes to plug in, but the biggest change so far was changing Kepa. That's as the goalkeeper, Kepa, for Mendy,
yes.
Eduardo Mendy. Yeah, that was our biggest change, and there's been a big difference. We've considered since Eduardo Mendy has taken the goalpost, he has only considered 3 goals in 10 matches.
And by the way, that's a very tough decision to make as a head coach. Let me just remind people, AY, what Chelsea did today. They're into the round of 16 out of Group E, 2-1 over Rennes today from France. Hudson-Odoi and Giroud, a late goal in that one. So Chelsea has rode into the round of 16, Bayou City Blues. All right, what else, AY?
No, that was my quick comment. It's been a long, maybe seven, 8 months, but it's like this. I've not been in tune with soccer matters. Even during the restart of the season, I did listen to one or two shows, but right now I'm back. Tuesdays, I always listen to soccer matters.
We need you back
in town. So. When next week, are you going out? When next you'll be in town? Would this be anytime soon?
I am in town. These shows are being done out of my home studio, so I haven't been back in the studio since March. But, you know, I can't tell you how uplifting it is to hear your voice. Because, number one, you have a very distinguished voice. But, number two, you always put a smile on my face when you come on the show. To hear a call from Massapequa, a guy who grew up on Long Island, to hearing you, it just puts a smile on my face. So we need you back, AY.
That's all right. I'll be in touch. Take care and try and stay safe.
Okay, you too, AY. Thank you very much. Happy Thanksgiving to you. All right, we're going to take a break now. And as we go to break here, just a reminder, we're taking your calls on the rebrand. Has it grown on you a bit since we've had a little bit of time? Supporters groups, where are you? Houston Coolis, BCB, Red Army, Wolves, Spurs, where are you? You've had a lot of good results lately. Spurs, you're sitting at the top of the Premier League, and there's nobody repping today? Where's the Dynamo fans? You heard some Dynamo conversation with Bogdan. All right, don't go away. It is Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. It is presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Big thank you to them. Also, where's the Houston Liverpool supporters group? The guys that go out to Hugh O'Connor's on 7620 Katy Freeway. Guys, where are you? 713-780-3776. The lines are open. Let's talk. Break.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
Hi, this is Adam Lundquist from the Houston Dynamo, and thank you for listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. ZZ Top, when you moved to Houston in the 80s, you know ZZ Top. Talk about an institutional Houston band. Wow. And the blues that has come out of the city as well. And hip-hop. ZZ Top, I would love to hear that pregame at a Dynamo game, wouldn't you? Might be LaGrange. I remember driving to LaGrange because of the song and going through there to Austin the first time. 713-780-3776. Good thing being done by the Dynamo. That is Kroger and the Dynamo. Flu shots, December 5th at BBVA Stadium. I'm going to tell you, last year, after coming back from Manchester, England, I got sick on the plane. I got beat down by the flu, and it sounds exactly like COVID. I mean, and it took me 5 to 6 weeks to get right, and that is no lie and no joke. That's why I'm being so careful with the COVID thing. I'm not going through that again. Absolute on a couch, hardly getting up. And it, you're just, at some point you hit this wall and you're just like, is this ever going to get better? So we're into extra time here with Nashville and Toronto. You know, you talk about what the coach of Nashville, Gary Smith, said. And by the way, he won an MLS Cup with Colorado the same way. By the way, tonight is more palatable watching Nashville SC because it's a single elimination game against Toronto in cooler weather. Now, if they're playing this deep defending thing in 90-degree heat, it doesn't look as appealing. But Gary Smith said, well, we have to make better choices, you know, on the ball in those good moments. And the reason they do is because they get less of those moments. They don't want the ball. They want the ball for those few vital moments, and they want to cash in. But they get fewer opportunities. Now, tonight they're getting a few more, actually, and Toronto FC almost scores here. Greg Vanney talked about upping the speed of play, but it's 0-0 right now, and Big Joe Willis is in goal. He has come up with a couple of saves, almost gave the ball away to Toronto that led to a goal. So a lot going on there. Okay, welcome back to the show. Show also sponsored by our next guest. Real quick here for 2-3 minutes, we're going to visit with Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. It's over there on Fondren. He is Jan Christensen. He helped bring you the Dynamo FC Dallas game as well on the radio that Eddie Robinson and I called. Jan, how are you?
Hey, Glenn, man. Doing great, man. Doing great. You know, we had a good day today with Barcelona. Breitwein is scoring 2 goals and 1 assist.
Yeah, and Serginho Dest, the U.S. international, getting one. So Denmark and the United States are happy as well. Big problems, though, for them in turning things around. They have got huge problems, debt, Messi, but a big win for them today over Dynamo Kiev. They advance as well. Tell me about the store and what's going on, because I know there's a lot of great buys coming up here, Black Friday coming up over at Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture.
Yeah, you know, we have our charity promotion going on with Stressless, you know, where you donate $50 to the Houston Food Bank and then you get $300 off a chair. And wow. That's always a very popular promotion. And we had something going in the summer, too, and I was able to give $8,000 to the Houston Food Bank last week, which provides 24,000 meals. So I can only encourage people to help the Houston Food Bank, because it was crazy what I saw down there, how many people were waiting and how many people were packing. And they definitely need help down there if you can do that. But we have a lot of good floor samples and other new arrivals that came in. And so there's a lot of good deals. And, of course, as you know, a Stressless chair is gold for any soccer fan to sit in and watch a game.
It's gold for dogs, too, because I have a hard time getting the chair back from my dog, honestly.
Yeah. So with this going on, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and so please stop by and say hello, man. And I'm always sure to mention you heard me on your show, and we'll take care of them.
Yeah, go in and mention that you know Jan Christensen from Soccer Matters. Go into Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. If you're lucky, you ask him about the history of Danish football, the big giant book he has. You might even get to see that as well. But Jan will talk soccer with you. He'll talk furniture. He's one of the greatest here in Houston. He's benevolent. He's a huge, huge partner in the Houston soccer community. Jan, as always, thank you for coming on. And great work there with the food bank as well. Fantastic.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Jan. Have a great night. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Right. Yes, same to you, Jan. Well, that's what Thanksgiving's about, saying thanks for people like that. So his place is on Fondren. If there's soccer games on, he'll have it on, but you should go in there and talk to him. He's a lot of fun. I remember when he was first doing ads, and people would go, oh, man, I sat next to the Danish Inspirations guy who yells goal, you know, because on the commercials he would yell, meet your furniture goals. So a big thank you to Jan, and we appreciate that. 713-780-3776. Okay. So everybody got really crazy, including a man who's a big part of this show, Victor Ariza, about the Mickey Mouse nature of the penalty kicks between Orlando City and New York City FC, and how that was just such a huge credibility hit on Major League Soccer. I want to know if you agree with that or not. Is that any different than the screw-ups like, I don't know, let me think of Thierry Henry. I mentioned that one, the handball for France against Ireland, which was as blatant as ever. Ireland didn't get to go to the World Cup because of that. Oh, Nashville FC. SC has just gone up. I can't even get it right. It is 1-0. Wait a minute. No, wait a minute. It's the second time they've scored. It's going to be called back. It is offside. And I was about to get excited here because it was an upset in the making. And the call is correct based on this video here. But, Henri's handball. So who did that make look bad? FIFA, whoever was refereeing in World Cup qualifiers? Frank Lampard had a disallowed goal for England against Germany. I remember that one in 2010. And if I'm not mistaken, that would have tied things up, although I wouldn't say England was the better team that day. But it's a global sport, and it did bring drama. Do you think it brought drama or not? I mean, a lot of people think that was great drama because of the mistakes and the unsure nature. I don't think anybody wanted that, but that's what happened. 713-780-3776. Any new thoughts on the rebrand tonight? Supporters groups, your chance. Houston Coolis, Real Madrid, the Peña, you guys are out there. Houston Spurs, Houston Red Army, Wolves. We've already had AY talking about the Chelsea advancement. So Chelsea has advanced to the next round, which is good news for them. Sevilla has also advanced. It's another one. So a lot of good movement for teams when it comes to getting into the round of 16 early in the UEFA Champions League. There is more Champions League action tomorrow. Tomorrow, Olympiacos and Man City. City's top of Group C. You got Mönchengladbach and Shakhtar Donetsk. Marseille of France against Porto. Liverpool will take on Atalanta. Liverpool is atop of Group D. Atalanta will be trying to get that second spot in that group. Inter Milan and Real Madrid. That's a big one tomorrow. Big for both of them because they're third and fourth place in Group B. Bayern and Red Bull Salzburg. Bayern's in cruise control. Jesse Marsch and Salzburg need the points. Have to win. Atletico Madrid, Lokomotiv. Atletico coming off that 1-0 win over Barcelona. Maybe this is their year to win La Liga. Lokomotiv is looking to get into second place behind Bayern. Ajax, Midtjylland. Ajax need points. They're fighting for second place in Group D. All right, I think I heard music. I think that means producer Aaron Ray. Oh, okay, we got a few more minutes here. All right. Just keeping me honest here. Still in overtime with Nashville and Toronto. Coming up is the Philadelphia Union, New England Revolution as well. We thought that Nashville had gone up. 713-780-3776 is the number. That game's being played at Rentschler Field in Connecticut, which is the home of UConn. And this has turned out to be a very, very difficult game for Toronto FC. Which leads me to the point. With the midfield that was put out with Musa, Tyler Adams, Weston McKennie for the United States, what's the future of Michael Bradley? And I know everybody's going to say experience, but there is no question that he's going to want to play the game at a slower pace than those guys. How does that fit in with the athletic, pressing, youthful style that Greg Berhalter's trying to implement? It's a fair question. Because veterans want the game slowed down at their pace a little bit. Not to say that Michael Bradley's not still a good athlete, but I don't know if he's on the plane of those younger guys anymore. I don't think so. And Jozy Altidore, there's another one. Just looking at these guys out here tonight, thinking about what their futures are with the national team. Certainly it's a final cycle for them. Would they assume differing roles? Would they take differing roles? 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. 713-780-3776. Rebrand, has it grown on you again? Supporters groups, it's your chance to call in tonight. Today we had Chelsea get into the round of 16, 2-1 over Rennes. We mentioned that with AY. Sevilla advanced over Krasnodar. Rakitic getting one in that. Rakitic's goal was great. Munir got one in stoppage time. So Sevilla is going forward, by the way, without Chicharito. Barcelona 4-0 over Dynamo Kiev. Dynamo Kiev is, since the days of Shevchenko, have, you know, not been able to compete in Europe when they get into the group stages. Sergiño Dest getting his first ever goal. Braithwaite, the Dane, getting two up front in the number nine position. There was no Lionel Messi today. Group F, 3-1, Lazio over Zenit St. Petersburg. Dortmund 3-0 over Bruges. Juventus 2-1 comeback over Ferencváros. PSG 1, Leipzig 0, Neymar. Tomorrow, Telemundo, Chivas and America, 8:30 at night. Manchester United, by the way, beating Istanbul today, 4-1 maybe. So I'm taking you to a break with Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys. Good sad song. You gotta have a sad song once in a while. When we come back, we will be joined by Warren Barton. We're going to get his thoughts on the Toronto-Nashville game. Some thoughts on Major League Soccer from him as well. And as we go to break, real estate agents, you tired of paying high commission splits to your broker? NB Elite Realty. You get 100% of your hard-earned commission at closing. Plus, they offer low transaction fees, free investment training, great support, no hidden fees. Visit the website, nbeliterealty.com. Call 844-444-NBER for more information. And you can join the winning team. Don't wait. Start the journey to financial freedom today with NB Elite Realty. NBElitereality.com. That's Nebo Bandovich, the former Houston hotshot. And we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. The great guest always on the show, Warren Barton.
ESPN 97.5.
Hola, soy Mateo Bajamich. Les quería mandar un saludo muy grande a Soccer Mothers y les mando un abrazo muy grande.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. Big news here. Nashville has taken a 1-0 lead here. This could be a monumental upset here. And in some ways, I don't think it really is. Mukhtar just absolutely took apart Omar Gonzalez. It got followed up. But it is 1-0 Nashville. This is very, very big news. Daniel Rios, with his first career postseason goal, comes in minute 108. So they're going to have to finish this game off here. But this is really, really dramatic. The playoffs roll on, and they're dramatic. And that brings us to our next guest. He is Warren Barton, former Newcastle United defender. You have seen him on Fox calling a variety of different games. Warren, I'm not sure which game you're watching, but this has been pretty unbelievable here with Nashville now leading Toronto FC.
Yeah, I think I've been watching all the way through, you know, double headers, the way it's been going. It started with Orlando with the penalty decisions. We've seen with Dallas up at Portland, Wondolowski, you know, getting an equaliser as well. It's been sensational. Gary Smith and Steve Guppy have done an excellent job at Nashville. What I have noticed, though, Glenn, the teams that have had a bit of a break, Philadelphia being one, we're watching that at the moment, and New England have just scored, actually, from a set piece, is that they don't look very fit. They look like a little bit lethargic the way they're playing. Toronto, I think, was the same as well, Glenn, watching them. They wasn't really up to that speed, and the teams that have been playing, you know, a few days ago, back into it, have got a bit more rhythm about the way that they're playing. So I did notice that with Toronto in particular, and I'm seeing it now with Philadelphia.
That's a fair point. By the way, I got a bet with my friend Bill McDonald, who here in Houston, he's an ex-pro. He's a coach of Strake Jesuit Preparatory High School. A bottle of Lustau Vermouth is on the line, and I picked New England. So let's hope that score line stands.
You've gone with experience there with Bruce, haven't you?
No, because I know he's a Philadelphia guy, and he's going with his heart. He's not going with his brain. But he's a very, very good coach. He's won 500 more games.
Glenn. You're too smart for people. That's your problem. You're too clever.
We're having fun. He's a great friend of mine. There's still a lot of time left, so we'll see if Philadelphia finds their legs a little bit. All right, listen, we talk about styles of play and the days of, you know, Arsenal or Arsene Wenger was almost more about style of play than winning and made that very, very clear all the time. We don't see many teams that defend as deep as Nashville in this league and rely on it as much. And, you know, tonight, for me, Warren, they look like a more appealing team to me. They're just a more palatable team tonight. I don't know if it's because of the weather. I don't know if it's because it's a single elimination game. Help me here.
No, I think it's down to the fact that, as I said, they played a game, you know, and won it comfortably 3-0, so they're playing on a high, they're playing on adrenaline. The pressure was all on Toronto. They, again, in midfield, are a little bit static. I know Josie's come back into Josie Altidore, but he looked a little bit rusty. I mean, some of these players have not played a game for, you know, 21 days, you know, so it's going to be difficult to get up to speed and up to the pace of the game. And as I said, with Nashville, with Gary Smith, who I know really, really well, his dad actually was one of my coaches at Wimbledon, so I know Gary very well. He's going to get them organised. Zimmerman at the back has been an outstanding signing for them. So they've made being resilient at the back and making it hard work and honest. And on the counter-attack, they've got some quality players, and they can be a bit of a threat going forward. So it's like anything with the playoffs. As I said, it started crazy enough with Orlando going right the way through, and it's that momentum. And Nashville took that off the back of their comfortable performance the other day and gone to a team like Toronto, who are obviously playing away from home. They're nearly 400 miles from where they're playing, so they're not in their comfort zone. And as I said, they feel the game. They're in the game where they knew they had a chance. Made it difficult for Toronto, who could never really get any rhythm or passing or tempo into their game. And great credit to Nashville. It holds on as well. And similar to what I'm seeing now with Philadelphia and New England.
Getting some live analysis here. This is great with Warren Barton of Fox Sports, also played in the Premier League with Newcastle United, capped for England. And I like to say he's a good friend now. Over the years, we've gotten to know each other through doing differing events and calling some games together. So really, really fun having you on here, kind of doing some analysis as we're going on here. You know, with that Orlando City, New York City FC debacle, does MLS take a big hit because of that? Or is that something that just added to the drama of the occasion? Because, boy, I'll tell you what, people are really strong on both sides of the spectrum of that thought.
Yeah, I think obviously the initial thing is like, oh no, not in the in the MLS. I think we're just seeing another goal as well. So New England have just gone 2-0 up. So there we go. We're talking about teams running with a bit of momentum, and they scored a goal in the dying seconds of a game before. So they're playing on adrenaline. So they're 2-0 up against the best team in the league at the moment. So that just shows you what the playoffs are like. I think, you know, ultimately did the referee get it right in the end? And ultimately, yes, he did. But again, it's that, you know, making a substitution. They did know the rules. Then they've got to bring a player on. He makes a sub. So they got there in the end. But I think MLS, then, and I've been here now 12 years in the States, I've got over a little bit of embarrassment and being a bit self-conscious. I think we've moved on from that. I think the league has got, you know, good respect. It's obviously a long way to go. But you look at what the young national players are doing in the Champions League with Greg Berhalter, the system and the style of football. So again, in all leagues, you're going to get hiccups. I mean, you know, the Premier League have been embarrassed with the VAR decisions and what's going on there. So, you know, don't be self-critical that it was a little bit of a debacle, but more because of Orlando trying to make a substitution. That obviously is not allowed, and then a player goes in, and, you know, a little bit of karma that comes in and he makes a save for it. So, yeah, I think it's something that took a lot of interested globally along the world, but ultimately at the end of it they got the right decision. And you know, the goalkeeper come off the line and he already been blocked, so, and that's the rules that are going in. You know, we're going into World Cup soon, we're going into Gold Cups, so I'm sure we're going to start talking about other refereeing decisions as we go along. But it was definitely a way to start the playoffs going forward, so that was definitely one way to get everybody interested.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, we can go back to incidents in the game that have happened historically. I mean, I mentioned Henri's handball for France against Ireland back in the day that denied Ireland the World Cup. I mean, think about that, okay? This wasn't during
penalties. Well, I'll go further back, Glenn. I'll go back to Diego Maradona handballing it against my nation.
Of course.
So there we go. So, you know, we've... And then the people are going to go back and say, well, was Jeff Hurst shot against Germany. Did that go over
the line? Did that cross the line, yeah.
Being an Englishman, I said it was about 2 foot in the goal. So there you go. There you go.
Yeah, now I would say it took many, many years and different camera angles to really bring out the evidence on Maradona's, even though the players knew it was all. But the referee, I don't know. I mean, that was so well disguised. That was a tough one. But, I mean, the Henri handball was a joke. I mean, that was... I mean, you almost
and I think
had to
because
go
of because of the technology we had then, it should have been brought up straight away. But I've always had this conversation with people. You know, the professional game, it's about dog eat dog, and it's not always fair.
Yep.
You know, that's sometimes what you have to do to win a game. Is it right? No, but sometimes you do what you got to do. But you're going back to what you said about some coaches, they'd rather win a beautiful way like Pep Guardiola, and I had Kevin Keegan. You know, with my entertainers, we were going to win the league. Playing attractive football, we wasn't going to win it 1-0. And unfortunately, we lost it to Manchester United to Alex Ferguson. So, you know, there's a way of winning things, and everybody has their own idea about how the game should be played.
Warren Barton joining us, defender for Newcastle. We're talking as we're kind of monitoring the Nashville-Toronto game, the Philadelphia Union-New England Revolution. And by the way, Philadelphia Union have basically owned the Revolution. This is a sixth meeting for these two teams. And as Warren said, New England gained some incredible momentum coming into this with a late goal against the New York Red Bulls from Gustavo Bow, which was just a wonderful hit that advanced them in the playoffs. So Gary Smith in Nashville trying to ride this one out with about 4 minutes left. All right, take me back to Arsene Wenger and just those days of those teams and, you know, having played against Arsenal yourself and just, you know, his insistence on style over results.
Well, when he first went there, he changed the whole culture of Arsenal Football Club. Before that, with George Graham and Bruce Rook, I'm not saying it was a drinking culture, but there was a Tuesday group that would go out and play a bit of golf and then have a few beers. But Arsene Wenger came in straight away and said, no alcohol in the stadium for the players. Or for their families in the players' lounge. So that was a step. It was about progression, about looking after yourself. He was finding wonderful players like Patrick Vieira. Obviously, Henri had gone to Juventus from Monaco, who I'd played against in the Europa League, and it wasn't working out there. He brought players in. He made people like Lee Dixon, who we hear week in, week out on NBC, give him another 5-6 years of playing about conditioning yourself, looking after your body. The way you train it, it was only 90-minute sessions. That's all he ever did was 90 minutes, and every 18, 20 minutes, he would change the topic and change it around. So it just changed the whole philosophy of Arsenal Football Club. But what he was clever enough to do, Glenn, he kept that Arsenal back five for a couple of years. The Dixon, Winterburn, Bold, Adams, Keown, and obviously David Seaman in goal. And he rode them out for as long as he could and give them a foundation, adding the likes of Robert Perez, Freddie Ljungberg, who we know. Dennis Bergkamp was already there, but finding someone to link him with Dennis was Thierry Henry, and arguably one of the best combinations the Premier League have ever seen with them two as a number nine and a number 10 up front. They was phenomenal. And what he did as well with people like Imel Petit as well, who played against me at Monaco, they brought a physical presence. So he adapted to the Premier League. He kept that old guard. He brought some flair with the likes of Anelka as well when he first came in, and Mark Overmars at the very beginning, and brought pace and energy going forward. But a lot of it was psychologically, you know, the alcohol, the living conditions, how you was, how you trained, the maximum of only 90 minutes, and that's how we was doing it. And then he brought in some athletes that adapted to the Premier League, because as the game changed, it got more athletic, it got more powerful. So you can imagine playing at Highbury, and you've got, you know, Tony Adams, 6'3", Bold, 6'2", Seaman, 6'5", and then it goes along the line. Henri, Patrick was there, Mel Petit, you know, everyone was like 6 foot plus and could run and work. And, you know, it was like, how are you going to beat this lot? And that's why they were the Invincibles with that other generation of players. But Wenger was a gentleman. He was a philosopher. I'd actually spoken to Arsenal in the summer, and they was David Dean, who was the chief executive at the time, was trying to look for a coach at that time, and they were still trying to get Arsene Wenger away from Japan. And that didn't happen until October. But a quick story, Glenn, as well. At the end of my career, I worked for the FA on the disciplinary panel. And I don't know whether you remember, you've got a great memory, but Arsenal played against West Ham at Upton Park. And Alan Pardew, and Arsene Wenger had a pushing and shoving squabble on the pitch, and it got a little bit out of hand, and shoving was going on. So that was about the late 90s, early 2000s. And Alan Pardew walks into the office. There's me, a guy from the FA, and then someone from the Football League sitting there. Pardew comes in. It's his fault. He pushed me. He did this. He did that. Wenger comes in, shirt, tie, suit, sits down. He says, first of all, I'd like to apologise for my behaviour. Set his example, went on, and we was like, wow, there's a difference of class between one and the other. And ultimately, you know, he got his fine, but he straight away said, I shouldn't behave like that as a manager of Arsenal Football Club. And that's how he was in his club. He loved it. He changed, obviously, towards the end with the likes of Cesc Fabregas and a little bit smaller how they went with some of their players. Van Persie, obviously, was a little bit different, but just a pure gentleman, a great football man as well, soccer guy. And he adapted. Maybe at the end he stayed a bit too long, but I think that's because of his love of the game and the love of Arsenal. And like Manchester United, they'd not really recovered at that time. But he was just, changed the philosophy of the game and the idea. And speaking to people like Thierry Henry, which I have done numerous times, or Tony Adams, I did my pro license with him as well. Just changed Tony's philosophy about thinking about a person, about how you can be an athlete. And at that time, Tiger Woods was coming into the golf and being an athlete, and it started to change the whole momentum of how athletes were seen in different sports. And he was very, very forward thinking about that. And I think you can gather by how I'm speaking, I'm a big fan and admire him as well. And also ask him why he didn't come and sign me at the time. But I was up with the Geordie Land for 8 years and had a wonderful time up there. But as I said, there's certain people in the game. So Alex Ferguson, him, Sir Bobby Robson, that you just can't admire enough of what they have done in the game and what they think about the game. And I stress that to my kids. I stress that to kids that I coach. Whatever you put into the game, it will give you back full toll. So, give everything to the game and it will give you so much more back than the passion and the fun. And, me and you, Glenn, we were lucky enough to play the game at a good level. We miss that every day because it's a wonderful, wonderful career to be involved in.
I'll tell you, that was just some great testimony there, and that was just such an incredible story about Wenger taking accountability and the fact that you were there. That was just an amazing story, and I do remember that moment. And, you might say that was all I remember is training at Sheffield United, and I went over there, and, here I am, the American guy, and I'm trying to make an impression, had played against them in the U.S., and I'm saying to myself, I'm kind of, in a way, even though I'm just over here training with them, I got to kind of carry the flag of the American soccer player, right? So I'm there for business. And I'm telling you, the drinking culture was unbelievable. I mean, and I could not hang with these guys when it came to drinking beer. And now I'm in this place where, well, okay, I'm over here. I wasn't sent over here to drink beer every night, you know what I mean? But, this was a condition, and this was something that was easy for those guys to do. It was not easy for me to do. I
got a quick story,
Glenn.
You got
1 minute, and then I got to go to break.
Right,
1 minute, go.
Right, quick time. We was in La Manga, again, late 80s, which is a place in Spain where people would go for pre-season. Croatia national team was there, Barcelona was there, and Porto was there, and Newcastle. And there was only one bar in the place in La Manga. So we would go there. Gary Speed would bring his guitar. Alan Shearer, Shay Given. We're all in the bar having a drink. The first night, we go back on the field. We're doing a bit of running. And the Barcelona boys are going, you lot are crazy. How can you drink like you do? And, then you're out there training. This went on about 3 days of the Croatian national team. How on earth are you doing? The last night, the lads, every single player from Croatia, Barcelona and Porto was in the bar with us. It's all full of players there drinking. We're all doing different songs. We went out the next day and all trained together. And that's part of being to that togetherness and bringing everybody together. So at the beginning, they thought we was crazy. And the old British mentality, we dragged them into it, and they was having a drink with us afterwards. And people like Pep Guardiola and Figo, and that was running around the field with a bit of a sore head. They knew how we felt sometimes. So it was all fun and games, my friend. All fun and games.
Great stories tonight, Warren. Great insight. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. Nashville has knocked off Toronto FC. That's that. Philadelphia Union, New England going on now. Warren, thank you so much for coming on the program, as always.
Absolute pleasure, my friend. Take care. And you are, my friend.
All right. Thank you, Warren. Warren Barton, former Newcastle United defender. Exceptional. Does a lot of great work with youth players, too. Excellent coach. in the youth community. Who knows? Maybe he'll be on the sidelines of a Major League Soccer team one day. We'll take a break here. Big thank you to John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. Daspit Law Firm, the presenting sponsor of this show, 713-322-HURT. DaspitLaw.com. They're bilingual, 713-322-HURT. Presenting sponsor of Soccer Matters. And also a big thank you in Midtown to Advantage BMW Midtown.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.